Let's pray. Father, I pray that your spirit would move and have your way today. That you have specifically called us here, all of us in this room, for this moment. I know you've been working on me on these things, and I pray that we would allow you to work on us a little bit. This is a heart check season. We want to avoid critical care. We're looking to avoid crisis. We're looking to please you. So, Father, I pray your spirit would stay with us today in the word and move in us as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I am the church. Sermon title, we have it up there. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi, by the way. I never introduced myself. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi. Dr. Heidi's in the back. Pastor Jody's right there. Pastor Justin's right there. Charity, our women's pastor's over there. Pastor Sharon's right there. Joe Wernat's got the door. Got worship team right there. Okay, anyways. Left Behind is this mini-series. Yeah, and today I'm not talking about abandonment. The first thing, you know, you think, man, I've been left behind before. Yeah, I can see some right now. Some of you are salty, like, Pastor, don't. That's an old wound. I need to go see Ethos Counseling because I've been left behind. I'm not talking about abandonment. I'm not talking about the rapture. Left Behind. I'm not talking about a silly apocalyptic zombie game. Left Behind. I'm not talking about that today. But if you've ever been left behind, it honestly sometimes strikes a chord in you, doesn't it? Ever been left out of something? Or left back, and you didn't want to be left back? And you're kind of like, you didn't say nothing. You're like, okay, I don't want to go to the fair anyways. I hate fairs. Don't invite me anyhow. Fairs make me sick. You know, you got this shirt that says, I love the fair. You just, I don't like the fair, you know. Invite me nowhere, you know. But sometimes it strikes a chord. It hits an insecurity. Why'd everybody else get to go? Why am I left behind? No one else, just me having insecurities this morning. Where's Cody? Cody, you with me? You're always like, Pastor, no matter what, even if I don't agree, just goes, I'd make you feel better. I just nod with you, you know. Sometimes it causes us deep reflection on how and why we're at where we are in our life. Why am I left behind, right? But you can relax. I'm not talking about any of it. That's nothing what I'm going to cover right now. The twist is this. Being left behind is sometimes best seen from the perspective of the one who placed or left you there. So the question is going to be today, why or to what purpose was I left behind for? Why or to what purpose was I left behind for? How about this? Can I be left behind to do a job that he asked me to do? Can I be left behind to do a job that he asked, even if it's challenging? Man. There's certain jobs like, yeah, I could do that. Professional fisherman. Who sponsored me? Bass Pro? Yeah, I got a nice boat. Yeah, what a job. You know, I'll take it. That's not challenging for me, Lord, you know. The title was going to be, actually, I thought about it for a while, and I go, maybe I should just call it Be a Titan for God. You know, and the definition of Titan is this: be a person of very great strength, intellect, or importance for him. And then I thought, it's the same thing. Being left behind on purpose is the same thing. It carries expectations with it. So I wonder if it's time the church... Who's the church? I wonder if it's time for the church to at least sincerely ask God, why have I been left here? Why have I been left here? And then the second question is, why have I been left right here where I am right now? Those are two different questions. Why am I left here? And why am I here in my current life right now? Why? Why am I left behind? It's going to be a study on Titus 1:2-3. Why Titus? He's an example of being left behind. And the answer for him that God gave Titus might find some of our purpose in the answer that God gave Titus. I want to tell you as we get going, God wants an elder, he wants an order, and he wants his expectations met. So all through that, think of why you're left behind. There's a purpose for our left behind. And I think if you'll listen with me through Titus, we'll get some. So I'm going to chew on it. You know, like a camel chewing on one piece of thing. You're watching that documentary, slobbers coming out of his jaw. I know, that's all I'm going to be today. All messy, chewing, slobbery, like bulldog almost, you know. So Titus 1, 1 through 2, and all scriptures will be in the Amplified. I'm slow rolling so much, Bob, you may grow moss on your fingers. So don't even stress it, man. Paul, a bondservant of God, pulling over right there. A bondservant. You don't hear that very often. It's not a James bondservant. It's a bondservant. It's a Greek word called doulos, and it means a slave. It means a servant slave by choice. Voluntarily decided to be a servant slave. Also means one who gives himself up and gives up his own will for the service of another. Born-again disciples, now our lives are supposed to belong to a new master, a new controller. And that's sometimes the hard part when we born-again Christian experience. Forgiveness is there, but he doesn't, if you don't make him Lord, he's not master and controller of your life, you still are. Then you're the master. Paul's saying, I'm a bondservant by choice. Paul says in his word bondservant, it means to be completely devoted to another. Still the bondservant. This all means one thing. To be completely devoted to another and to disregard one's own interests. Wow. You know, it talks about husbands and wives laying our lives down for each other a lot. And I hate telling stories because I take out my treasure from heaven. I'm telling you this story not to go, wow, Pastor Sean, you are awesome. I'm about a B+ in husband world. Shooting for an A+, but I'm about a B+. But when I go to pick out towels, I make sure Dr. Heidi has a towel every 2 days, fresh towel hung with her washcloth. But when I'm down to two towels, and I got that ratty one we sometimes clean the dog with, it's clean. I don't know why it's not thrown out, but it's a towel and it's clean. It doesn't look clean, but it's, anybody have one of those towels? You're like, yeah, don't. Angel Lake, Pastor Sean, don't even talk about that towel. You know, just move on from the towel. But, and then there's the fluffy gray ones that match all the other things she bought online somewhere, you know? And there's just two towels left. Well, I believe as a good husband should, he gives her the best towel. To completely devoted to another, disregarding one's own interests. Paul's saying that's how I treat God. I disregard my own interests a lot. Sounds a lot like the terms of salvation, repentance and forgiveness, and then change lordship, right? If he's your Lord, that makes you his servant. Sometimes we get that role conferred. We do get that role confused so much because in prayer, sometimes we treat him like the dog that's supposed to obey us. Or the great slot machine in the sky. Put enough coins in, I'm going to hit it. I'm going to hit my prayer. Because you've got to keep praying without ceasing. That means pump the quarters in to thy prayer life. No. Our heart should be, Father, before I give this list to you, what's your will? I know what I want to do. Trust me. But now I have to go to Walmart and behave. It's just different. Thanks, Juju. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle, a special messenger, personally chosen representative of Jesus Christ. Say, I'm the church. That's me too. Right? Okay. For the faith of God's chosen ones, and to lead and encourage them to recognize and pursue, to lead and encourage them to recognize and pursue the knowledge of the truth which leads to godliness. Based on the hope of divine guarantee of eternal life, which God, who is ever faithful, say ever faithful, God who is ever faithful and without deceit promised before the ages of time began. What? That's like too much to wrap my head around. Right? You're like, what did you just read? Are you kidding me? I don't have very much media this week because, again, I was trying to bless my wife. Kirsten's not in town. So Dr. Heidi is the hardest working person I know. You know, Pastor Jody's like right on her heels. And so I try not to give them more work when Kirsten's out of town. So there's very little media today. There's some, but very little. Titus 1, 3 through 4. And it says, at the appointed time, I want to pause there. You know, time and how it unfolds is completely scheduled by God. I have a hard time accepting that. I don't know if you guys are good with that. I'm praying in my daughter's husband, and I would like him here by Thanksgiving. Can I tell you that? Sue, I'm praying for Kirsten. Like, God, you brought in Cody? You know, she's got specific qualifications. She's looking for a specific model of a guy. So I'm like, okay, Lord, can we get him in by Thanksgiving? Let's bring him on down. Let's go, slot machine, slot machine. Do my will, Lord, please, right? And lots of times he goes, hey, look, I have an appointed time. I'm control. You know, you get confused. I don't know if you have this problem. He puts me in charge of stuff, but I'm in control of nothing. In charge of stuff, but in control of nada. I have to be reminded of that quite often, unfortunately. At the appointed time, he has made known his word and revealed it as his message. What's God's message? It says he revealed it as his message. He revealed it as his message. You do want to know God's message for your life? Does anybody want to know what God's message for the world is? How about message for your life personally? Like, I'd like God's message for my life. Yeah, there's really good news for you this morning. His word is his message. His word is his message. So if you want to know what God says about your life and what he expects us to do and why we've been left behind and what we're supposed to be doing in our current world that we live in, our current community we live in, the community family we live in, and the community relationship we live in, if you want to know how he wants you to conduct your life and what his message is for you, it says he revealed it as his message, his word as his message. That's good news. Because if you're confused about anything in your life and you have no idea what God's speaking about it, it's in there. Sometimes you got to mine it out. You got to dig it out sometimes, but it's in there. He revealed it as a message through preaching, expressing his teaching of his word. Now, this is the tough part, which he's entrusted to me. He's like, man, I've been entrusted by God by something. Actually, according to the command that God, our Savior, gave me. Jesus entrusted him by command. I guess we'll pull over real quick. I don't know if you remember the assignment. Saul's coming to Jesus moment was one of these things like, I hate Christians. I hate Christians. Going to kill them all. I hate Christians. Help me carry the banner. I hate Christians. You want to kill them with me. That was his mantra. I know it sounds terrible, but that was his mantra. And on his way to plant that flag in the ground, Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, knocks him down, blinds him, humbles him, rescues his soul, changes his name, and says, now I gave you a job to do. Go do this. So Paul's saying, I got a command from Jesus. I remember the day that I gave my life to him. He started making demands of me because it was no longer my life. That's not easy all the time. But Paul's saying, hey, I had to do this. You know what's interesting about going to Damascus? On the road to Damascus, the word Damascus means something like, I want to make sure I do it exactly, sackcloth weaver. Okay, Pastor Sean, why are you pulling that garbage out here on a Sunday morning? It's hot. Sackcloth weaver. You know what sackcloth was a symbol of? Humility. And Saul had none. He knew everything. He was raised this, and he knew that, and everything. And I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews, and I know the law of laws, and I live according, and I give a tenth of my salt, and I give a tenth of my rice, and I give this, and I do that. Everything the law says, I do. And God says, but you don't know me. And I have to take you down to humility. Ever been taken humility before you find Jesus? Every story. I'm not saying 90% of the stories. Every story starts with a revelation of humility. So Paul had to need a revelation of humility. So Paul's saying, hey, I had to do this. It's key. He says this letter is to who? To Titus. Titus, my true child in common faith. Now, obviously, Titus was not his kid. Paul wasn't married. Paul didn't have kids. It's a cultural thing. So often I'm confused when I go out with certain Samoan friends of mine. Sometimes I am the prophet here to speak the word of God. I'm like, I am. And here's the prophet. I'm like, oh, man, that's pressure. Lord, I was just worshiping with you. Right. It's Pastor Sean. This is my brother. This is my son. I'm like, what am I? What am I? Titus, Paul says, I know you. And there's people that did not come from my bloodline that I consider my kids. And I treat them that way. To Titus, my true child in common faith, grace and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. Titus 1 through 5. For this reason, here's the crux of our sermon. It's about ready to come up. For this reason, I left you behind in Crete. For this reason, I left you behind in Crete. Now, I wonder, you may wonder too, why? Why'd you leave me behind? I was traveling with you, and then you left me in Crete. And if you look up Crete today, you go, pretty cool place. It's beautiful. Like, leave me in Crete? Yo, yeah. Like, I'll swim every day. I'll take, you know, I got the beach ministry all set up. Thank you, Paul. Woo, living in Crete. That's not how Crete was then. Made it look pretty, but it wasn't pretty. We're going to find out soon, actually, how Paul feels about the people of Crete. It wasn't like, yay, assignment. You know? Like, woo, you know? There's always a reason that we're placed anywhere by God. It's not haphazard. If you're wondering, stop. There's a purpose for your life. The problem is sometimes we wander off the purpose, right? Right. It's when we wander off the purpose, it's a whole other thing. Ever wandered off purpose? Phew, man. Wandered off purpose. For this reason, I left you behind in Crete so that, here's the thing. Why did you leave me here? Why am I left behind? Say, I'm the church. Why am I left behind? Why'd you leave me here in Crete? For this reason, I left you behind so that you would set right. So that you would set right. So that you would set right what remains unfinished. Imagine that's your word. Like, imagine your boss goes away and go, I'm leaving you in charge for a month. Set right what is unfinished. You're like, what? Pastor Justin, heaven forbid, God takes me out. Right? And I leave you a note. Says, son, set right all that is unfinished. You'd be like, all that is unfinished? I just look at the roof and go, oh my goodness, that's a 30-year project. Right? I'd be free. All that's unfinished. Set right all that's unfinished. I'm going to be here a while. Oh man, that means I'm going to be here a while. I thought the Crete assignment was like, you know, a weekend pass. You know, I love the Crete assignment. Ooh, I'm back home. No, I'm going to set things right. That means I got to dig in. Set things right that remained unfinished. Titus needs prayer, trust me. As soon as he hears that, Titus needs prayer. Set right what's unfinished and appoint elders in every city as I direct you. Oh, so I get to get out of Crete. Somebody, yeah, you're going to be doing stuff for me. Find and train up leaders and get his direction to do so. That sounds great. Training up leaders is not easy. It's stressful. Nobody's perfect. Right. And this word elders here isn't like most churches use it. Like, I'm the elder. That means I take up the offering or count the offering. I'm the elder. I make sure that the food banquet is covered food, you know. This is more like the word bishop, sometimes even pastor, but more like the word bishop. Seems to be more appropriate. It says, and appoint elders as I directed you, Titus 1, 6 through 9. Appoint elders as I directed you, namely, he's like, look it, you're in Crete, and this is what I want you to do. Namely, find men of unquestionable integrity. Namely, of unquestionable integrity. All right, that's got to be important. What if they're really gifted speakers? No. What if they can sing like angels? No. What if they walk on water and raise the dead? But that's proof that Jesus is moving in their life. Well, that's proof they have a gift. Doesn't mean Jesus is in their life. His first category was go, namely find men of unquestionable integrity. And then he says the husband of one wife. Why does he say that? Remember, it's a polygamy culture. It still is. And it's just a great practical advice because imagine this. Any married guys here? Married guys, okay. Imagine all the work it is to be the best husband and father you are. And then you get given another whole family to be financially responsible for, emotionally responsible, spiritually responsible for, and the three other churches that you just planted also need that from you. The practical word is you don't find one of those guys. Why? Because they're in sin? No, they got no time to run God's church. It's impossible. You need guys that can focus in on what I need them to do. That's not easy to do. Balance of family and ministry, it's not. Namely, of unquestionable integrity, husband of one wife, having children who believe. Now, I kind of love, too, that he put married people in there in this thing because of this reason, in these leadership positions. And hear my heart. Sometimes you have to prove you can lead more than yourself. And if someone's not leading and being faithful with what's in the walls of their home, like, why would we elect anybody whose family's out of order? Why would we put, it's not an indictment, but you say, look, oh, you can run the country, but you just can't run your two kids. But we trust you with our lives. Why are we stupid? Yeah, we are. That's the answer most of the time. But that's not how it's supposed to be, right? Husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of being immoral or rebellious. Say pure religion. Not accused of it. For an overseer, as God's steward, that word steward is like manager of a household, like someone who takes care of his stuff, as God's steward must be blameless. Say, not perfect, but efforting towards pure. Not perfect, but efforting towards pure. Is anybody efforting with me? We're efforting, right? We're making efforts. An overseer of God's steward must be blameless, not self-willed. Now, that's a really good thing we checked our hearts last week because we might have a problem right here. But that kept being drilled over and over again in pure religion. Hey, it's not about you. Have self-discipline. Get yourself in order. Check your heart. Why are you doing good things? Are you doing for good reasons? You have a good heart, but you're doing no things with it. Check your heart. Remember, we had to check our hearts. What's your self-will? It said that they would not be self-willed, not quick-tempered. Man. All right, Juju, I need another bracelet for the highway. Holy Spirit, help me. I used to be terrible at this. I'm not terrible at this anymore by the grace of God. But I was the kind of guy in high school, you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Before you know it, the whole cafeteria is looking at me because I'm like, are you looking at me? Like, dude, man, I have something in my eye. Go home. I'm not so quick-tempered anymore. Jesus, right? Must be blameless, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine. Not addicted to wine. Here's something I'm going to pull over every time. This makes her very uncomfortable, but I don't care. I love her, and she'll just put up with me. Don't ever judge Pastor Jody if you see a glass of wine in her hand. Please. Don't. She barely likes it. If she has one, it must be some sweet thing that should take her 4 hours to sip. I've been out to dinner. I know. But if you see a buddy of yours that has an alcohol addiction problem, they've been through AA, you better go ask them if they're okay. That's your brother, man. Are you okay, man? See, wine isn't the problem. Addiction is. Wine is not the problem. Addiction is, right? Addiction's the problem. Not addicted to wine. Not violent. Not greedy for dishonest gain. No selling land in heaven, pastors. Come on. That was a crazy story, man. Crazy. Come on. Just anyways, not violent, not greedy for dishonest gain, but financially ethical. Wouldn't it be great if every there's not just the Christian church? What if we just took this one item out? What if all leaders were financially ethical? Wouldn't it be lovely, right? He said, hey, if you got guys that you're raising up to help in the church and do things in the community that you're making up leaders in the church, you make sure that their character's good and they're ethical and they're not addicted and they're violent, right? He says, and they must be hospitable to believers as well as strangers. Sometimes it's easy to be more hospitable to strangers than believers. Anybody? Yeah, like, Pastor, don't wear it now. Sometimes. But it says we got to be hospitable to both. That's why we should all have bracelets. Okay. A lover of what is good. Not just, oh, good's cool. I do good when I can, you know. Sometimes I choose good, you know. No, a lover of what is good. Sensible, upright, fair, devoted. Oh, there it is again. Self-disciplined. Above reproach. Above reproach, whether in public or in private. What? That means you got to be who you're supposed to be. Home, at church, at Walmart, on the 60, at the steakhouse. Isn't that important? I'm not talking about perfect. I'm talking about this is the qualifications that we should be efforting towards in our lives. Because we've been left behind for a purpose. This is part of our purpose. Above reproach, whether in public or in private. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy word of God as he was taught, so that he'll be able to both give an accurate instruction in sound doctrine, be able to teach truth, say, I'm the church, I should be able to. I should say it again, Hallie, that was a good time to clear your throat. I should be able to teach truth. It's not pastor's job only. I'm part of the church. And refute those who contradict. Refuting's not the fun part. Titus 1:10 through 13. For there are many rebellious men. You know, I don't know what guy it was that said in the men's group the other day. Oh, I do know. I won't put him out, but it was a great point. He said, man, there just seems to be so many more quality women than there are men in the world, Pastor. And I looked at him and said, so be one. You can't change who other people can be, but you can change who you can be. So be one, right? For there are many rebellious men who are empty talkers, just windbags. Ever meet someone who just talks and talks to impress you somehow with empty nonsense, and you're just like, your soul's being drained. You got trapped on the inside of the, you know, you're like, oh, man, I'm in the inside booth, and I'm sitting next to this dude, and you're like, oh. Charlie Brown's teacher, you're like, looking at your watch like it's an iPhone, but it's not, just a watch. You're like, well, I got a text. Dude, that's not even got a battery to say it's working. Oh, I got to get up now. Like, mm-hmm. Men who are empty talkers, just windbags, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, those Jews who insist that Gentile believers must be circumcised to keep the law in order to be saved. So you got to do all the law and accept Jesus, or you can't be saved. He says they must be silenced. Silenced because they're upsetting whole families by teaching things they should not. Teaching for the purpose of dishonest financial gain. Again, this was before television existed. I know, it's just a dig. Just a small dig. For the purpose of dishonest financial gain. One of them, now check this out. Imagine. One of them, Epididymides, a Cretan. Now imagine being, like, you just sitting there in a congregation, and all of a sudden, pastor just calls you out. What? Yeah, one of them, like Ed, you know, I'd be like, whoa, dude, he's getting on to Ed in front of all of us. I would hate that. You know, what's going on? Right. A Cretan Epididymides, a Cretan, this windbag Paul doesn't like, this immoral guy, a Cretan, a prophet of their own said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Like, wow, that's pretty intense, really. That's how they all are. And then Paul goes, this description is true. So let's go back to the beginning. I left you behind in Crete with what? A bunch of windbag liars who are evil gluttons. That sounds like a terrible assignment. Now, you look at Crete on the map, you go, beautiful waters. How wonderful of an assignment that must be. Titus back then goes, you leave me behind with the Cretans? They're all liars. You know it. You can't trust them. They're dirty. Like, we should just, remember when you said, shake the dust off your feet? Let's just do this to Crete. Let's pull like a chihuahua and get out. Like, no, I'm leaving you behind because you have a purpose. I know it's not a great assignment, but it's your purpose. Ever feel that way? Evil beasts, gluttons, this description is true. This description is so true. So rebuke them sharply. Good leaders have hard jobs. Rebuking sucks. If you've ever been a head of a company, had to fire somebody, had to let somebody go, had to tell somebody, dude, you're not doing it right, your quality assurance thing. If you ever had to do any of that before anybody, give me a hand. Anybody ever been in that job? How much did you love having to correct somebody else? Never. And no matter what your temperament is, you don't want to do that. Some of us are more able to, but no one wants to do that. And here he says, I'm leaving you on this assignment in Crete with those lazy, immoral liars. And one of your jobs is to set everything in order and correct the nonsense. Oh, wow, man. That's why I'm left behind? Dude, I was thinking about surfing. Have you seen the water? Rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in faith and free from doctrinal error. So here's our question. Why are you now here where you are? Think about it a second. When I say, where are you? In your life, where are you? You have a picture of what that is to you. Why are you there? What is it he wants of you there? Maybe he placed you there. And it might be a Cretan assignment. Sometimes it feels like a whole season of Crete, right? But God desires his elders raised up in those areas. He desires order in those areas. He desires that we meet those expectations. Just because it's hard and we don't want to do it doesn't mean he doesn't expect us to do it. And to have results. You know, ever when you're a kid, ever like, did you clean your room? Yeah. And basically you just kind of shove stuff under the bed. And sometimes you got away with, Mandy, you did that a lot, I can tell. Yeah. And you shoved it under the bed, you know, and your mom could be like, yeah, it looks good. But every once in a while, she'd look under the bed because she knew. You'd like, oh, man. Man. Yeah, expectations need to be met. Titus 1:14-16. Not paying attention to Jewish myths and the commandments and rules of men who turn their backs on the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing's pure. Both their mind and their consciousness are corrupted. They profess to know God. They profess to know God, to recognize and be acquainted with him, but by their actions, say by their actions, right? But by their actions, they deny and disown him. Doesn't matter what our mouth preaches. That's what our life lives. And all of us have been off track. And this is heart check time. This is all of us who go, okay, I'm drifting. You know, I told you the analogy. You're driving to California, leaving Northern California, on my way to New York, straight lining across. I'm going to run in some lakes in Michigan, but for the most part, I'll dip behind them, head over, easy. But I'm just going to take an inch a mile and turn to the right. Just a smidgen. Every mile, I'm just going to go an inch. I end up in the Gulf of Mexico. Just off an inch a mile. Why? Because I didn't check my alignment. This is the season we check our alignment. No, don't hang your head. Oh, man, I'm a sucky bag of shrimp. No. Welcome to the club. We all sucky bags of shrimp. You know? All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's the ugly part. But what are we going to do now? But what are we going to do now? He still expects us, even in the land of Crete, to produce something in our lives. It says, by their action, they disown him. They are detestable and disobedient and worthless. Say, oh no, DiGiorno. Worthless for God's work of any kind. Worthless for God's work of any kind? Of any kind. Man. Good thing we're almost to Titus 2. Titus 2, 1. Why have I been left here? To set everything in order to live in the land of Crete, to produce a lifestyle that raises other people up to leadership in a land of liars? And I'm supposed to have character all through it? In everything I do, from my money to my mouth? That sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? But it's possible. Because we're efforting. We're efforting. Titus 2:1. But as for you, teach the things which are in agreement with sound doctrine. So they stay in the things that you know are truth. Because they will produce men and women of good character. Don't stay off the truth. I know the media is saying, preach this, preach this. It's okay. Teach this in your schools. It's okay. Love the one you're with. It's okay. No, trust me, I'm as hippie as you get. If it was up to me, there'd be no rules, there'd be anarchy. 80% of people would be dead, and I'd be living in a nice paradise without most humans. Go ahead, be free. I'm not in charge, thank God. Thank God. But he said, if you'll teach truth and you'll live truth, it will produce men and women. Isn't that what we're lacking anyways? It's part of our job. To produce something in the earth, right? To produce men and women of good character whose lifestyles identify them as true Christians. Man, you can't look at Miley Williams and not go, man, that girl's killing it for Jesus. Is she perfect? No, she's not perfect. I don't know where she's off, but I'm sure she is. Here's a slide. I think I got a slide, Bob. My only media today. God has expectations of who we are. And who we're supposed to be, and what we're supposed to do. God has expectations of who we're supposed to be, and what we're supposed to do. Like, he has an expectation for Mark. He has an expectation for Jody. And their jobs are not the same, but he still expects fruit from us. Right? Titus 2, 2 through 8. Older men, don't raise your hand, because none of us want this to be us. He's talking about older men, like, you know, Bob's grandpa, you know. Older men are to be temperate, which means calm, working on it. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, and in steadfastness, Christ-like in character. Older women, similarly, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor addicted to much wine, teaching what is right and good. Teaching. Women teaching. I thought they didn't do that. Never mind. Back up, Pastor Sean. Don't cause trouble. Teaching what is right and good, so that they may encourage the young women to tenderly love their husbands and their children, to be sensible, pure makers of a home where God is honored. Okay. Good-natured, being subject to their own husbands. I'm going to pause right there because I have to. You know what that's supposed to mean? It's not subservient. Subject to their own husbands. You know what he's trying to express right here? Serve your spouse in your home as a priority over other people. You know how many, growing up, after I became a Christian, I was young in the church, I saw so many people serve the crap out of Bishop Pierce. So many ladies, man, they would just not in a weird way, but like, oh, bitch, but their own husbands. I'm just serving the man of God. Well, the man of God's in your house, but he's not as nice as Bishop Pierce, but you got to start there. It works the other way too. You want to lead God's house, and he says, it's like marriage. A husband must love his wife as Christ loves the church. Oh, goodness. That's both of us working hard. Both of us working hard. So here he's talking about, hey, ladies, show how to love and make sure that home and your husband are more priority than like other people. So when people see that in your life, they go, okay, that's what they're saying. It's not talking about doormat life. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. because home and church life and community life are, when proper priority, are great. We're not, it's bad character. Those things matter. Who we are and what we do matters. In a similar way, urge the young men to be sensible. That's hard enough. Anybody know any young men? Urge them to be sensible. How sensible were some of us that raised our hands when we were young men? That wasn't be a descriptive word for me. If you asked all my teachers and all my friends and my parents and any relative and any human that knew me before the age of 22, they say, would you choose sensible? Just, they'd laugh. With him? Did you say sensible? Mr. YOLO? No. Mr. YOLO is not sensible. Urge the young men to be sensible and self-controlled. There it is again. We got to police ourselves. It's our job. And to behave wisely, taking life seriously. This doesn't probably apply to anybody here, but I'm just going to say it anyways because it's important to bring up. Young men can no longer stay boys. There does come a time to put away childish thing and become young men. Our culture really hasn't done a good job with that. And it sounds antiquated, right? You know, so many times, so when did you become a man? Well, 16, I found Becky Lou Thatcher. No, man, that didn't make you a man. That just made you had a hard time controlling your hormones. Then you a man. Well, I got a job making this much money. Well, no one looks at you as a man because you make so much money. The men I respect hold the doors open for their wives. The men I respect are kind to the elderly. The men I respect are worshiping Jesus. The men I respect are taking care of kids. The men I respect are working on their character. The men I respect are not the old thugs they used to be, but they're working, purifying towards something else. They're not perfect, but boy, they're working hard. There comes a time when you got to grow. We got to mature into something that we're supposed to be, not what we've been. Not what we've been, but what we're supposed to be. He left us behind for a purpose, right? And in all things, show yourself to be an example of good works and purity and doctrine. Having the strictest regard for integrity and truth. The strictest regard, like those got to be the most important things. Dignified, sound, and beyond reproach and instruction. So that the opponent will be shamed. I love that today. Pray so much that the water drowns my enemies or something. Whatever it was, I love that kind of thing. I'm like, wow, we got that through. Dr. Heidi's like, okay, we're drowning our enemies. All right, good, 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 good. Can we get a song where we're chopping off their heads and dancing over their bodies? No, nothing like that. That's just too gory. This is worship. Pastor Heidi's like, move on. You're too descriptive right now. Max is like, yeah, Pastor, I can feel it. Just keep going. Yeah, I can feel the. She's staring at you and you're feeling the heat in your cheek. I got it. He's like, move on. That the opponent will be shamed, having nothing bad to say about you. Life is hard. Anybody notice that recently? Does life seem extra hard? It just seems extra hard. Especially, life is really extra hard, especially without Jesus. All of us that we have Christ in our life, and we just said life is hard. Imagine if you didn't have Jesus. You weren't forgiven yet. You weren't set free. You had no hope, not only of eternal life, but no hope of tomorrow. And you're living here in Crete as a Cretan. But we've been given something. And it's time we give it back. We've been left behind for a purpose. It's time that we as the church start doing the purpose again. That's why he's been working on us. Has he been picking on you? Have you been picking on little things in your life? Just Harold and I, man. Harold and I have trouble. They're picking on us. Like, you're picking. Lord, you're working on us. Why? Because I've got a purpose for you. And every pick I take, every little thing I take off you or I add to you is to help you fulfill your purpose. So it's the season. I left you behind for a purpose. So maybe this morning, if you need prayer for, I've never even accepted Jesus' forgiveness in my life. I sit every day unforgiven. I don't even know he recognizes me. I'm telling you, he recognizes you and he loves you and he wants you free because he died for a purpose. Not just to go, wow, what a great painting that would be someday. Wouldn't that be an emotional story? He said, no, I loved you before you were born and I did that for you. And if you've never accepted that, today's a great opportunity. Walk out forgiven, free, loved, and with purpose. Or maybe your life situations, you can raise your hand if you want to. You've got some situations that you know if God doesn't intervene in this, it's going to be a challenge. I see Facebook requests all the time. I see Facebook requests around this room. And it was so beautiful this morning to see some of the people that were worshiping. And they're singing out. And even after the song cut out and the tech went thing, they're singing out. And what was beautiful to me, because most of you don't know each other's horrible stories. Or what you had to walk through. Or the moments you had to praise in the hardest times of your life. Like, I know that. And I want to go, you know what Mark's doing right now? He's thinking about his daughter. And he's praising God. Ask him about that story. It'll break your heart. But it makes me see him praise, and it makes me do something inside. It makes me want to sing even more when I see him praise through a hard spot. Maybe you're in a hard spot. You know, I better get some change now because I got a bad diagnosis. Because my so-and-so, or because this is happening in life. There is so much going on, Pastor. If I were to tell you, he's here for that. It's a hard season. And maybe just okay to go, Father, I'm here. Take me. Take me and work me through my hard season. If you would like to stand with me, I'd like to pray over all those things. If you need specific prayer, like Pastor, you can pray over everybody, and I love that, but I just would like some specific prayer. You come on up front, and one of the pastors or someone else will pray for you specifically. And because prayer is powerful. It's the thing I feel like we've been lacking, and I just, you know, we got all these attacks on the building, and there's not a demon out of every rock, but I was just like, you know, how much time are you praying anymore about the safety of the facility? I'm like, I'm praying for Miley. I feel like prayer has kind of become our slot machine. It's been, I'm in crisis, help me. I'm in crisis, help me now. But what if it was, Father, align me so I can stay out of crisis. Forgive me and deliver me from crisis that I can. So as a sign of surrender, a bondservant to a master, and it's probably uncomfortable, but sometimes serving another's vision is uncomfortable. So as a sign, if you want prayer and you want God to do something right now in your life in a situation that only he may know about or very few people know about and you need him, I'm asking you to raise both your hands like you're surrendering. I ain't got to open my eyes. I feel it. So, Father, I thank you for hearts that are surrendered for what you want to do in all of us. Every heart needs something, Father. There are healings that are needed in this room, and they're crying out for the healings of their bodies. And we stand in agreement for those that need physical healing right now. All of us are in agreement. Our hands are lifted up for them. Lord, we're praying for all of us are praying for whoever that is right now. We're saying in the name of Jesus, be healed. People need their lives restored. They need relationships restored. They need their hearts restored. And they're raising their hands for siblings and loved ones and cousins and aunts and sisters and daughters and husbands and wives and children. Father, we're praying for one another right now. We're asking in the only name you gave us. You left us in Crete, but you gave us a name above all names. So we speak the name of Jesus to all these prayer requests. And we ask that you would do something so miraculous in this generation. Lord God, you begin to change the narrative of our culture, Lord. And you'd use the church again like never before. I thank you for the people that serve you, that call this place home, the privilege to be part of their lives, Lord, and what you're doing. Send them out, Lord God. Know that they would know that they know that they know why they were left behind. In Jesus' name, amen.